Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, and look at what else? The sound and the fury surrounding the election in 11 days. And that's where we'll start, where I was there. Wisconsin I sponsored its first debate, first congressional CD candidates, excerpts from that. Then Tammy Baldwin, Bernie Sanders in Milwaukee, and Scott Walker, President Trump, Leah Vukmir in Mozenie at the airport. I was there.
Social Security is a promise that we made to seniors. So is Medicare. It's a promise we made to our seniors. Both are promises that we need to keep. Individuals in retirement and approaching retirement age should have their Social Security protected. Part of the reason I'm running, I think we have a budget that we need to get under control to make sure that we can match that promise as it relates to seniors with Social Security and Medicare. My opponent's plan, just his health care plan alone, is a $32 trillion program. Conceptually to pay for that, right? That's doubling all income and business taxes just to pay for that one program alone. That would put your Social Security and your Medicare at risk. We need to protect Social Security and Medicare, and we can do that by controlling our federal spending.
Well, here's an idea. How about let's not give $1.5 trillion to billionaires, the wealthiest people in the country, and then 1 week later say that we can't afford Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Yeah.
We hear all this talk on the right about wealth redistribution and how they're against it, but when it comes to taking the sweat out of our backs, the middle class, the working people that build and maintain this country, it's okay to keep squeezing us. I don't want to tax the middle class, the hardworking people of the middle class. We're not asking you to pay more. But when it comes to millionaire corporate attorneys, I will be asking you more.
Let's just take health care, for example. Time after time, my opponent has backed efforts to gut protections for Wisconsinites with pre-existing health conditions. And frankly, if my opponent had been in the United States Senate last year, we would have seen her be the deciding vote to take people's health care away. I was not sent to Washington to take people's health care away. That's right.
4 years ago in the United States of America, in our midterm elections, we had the lowest voter turnout since World War II. All right. Almost 2 out of 3 Americans did not vote. And people saying it's a midterm election, I don't have to vote, and they stayed home. And working people stayed home, lower income people stayed home, people of color stayed home, young people stayed home. In this election 2018, we have learned our lesson. We're not going to have the lowest midterm voter turnout in history. We are going to have the highest voter turnout.
So let me be clear. Tony's taxes will cost us jobs. Did you hear that? Tony's taxes will cost us jobs. Did you hear it? Tony's taxes will cost us jobs. Did they hear it down in Madison? Tony's taxes will cost us jobs. You know what the good news is? We don't have to have those taxes because we've got a plan to keep moving Wisconsin forward, to keep Wisconsin working for generations to come. To do that, I need your help.
If you want to continue this incredible momentum, then you must vote Republican. Go out and vote. Vote for Leah. Vote for Scott. Great people. You won't get better. And together, we will make America wealthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again.
First governor's debate last Friday. Now, We have discussed ad nauseum, ad length, their positions on K-12 and healthcare and transportation. So I want to focus on four other issues that came up during that first governor's debate. And I want to use clips from on each of these issues. And after the clip, you and I can come back and talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
So first, let's talk about what both candidates said on the subject of student debt, tuition, and should DACA young adults get in-state UW tuition. Let's go to the candidates' last Friday's debate.
I would propose or support legislation that allowed DACA students to be part of, to have in-state tuition. I visit schools all the time, and I hear young people are afraid, young Latino people are afraid that they're going to be ripped apart, their parents are going to be ripped away from them. We cannot allow that to happen in the state. Now, as it relates to, tuition and how high it is, the problem, one of the problems is, frankly, is that Scott Walker took over $200 million, I think it's $250 million, out of the higher education budget. We have to fund the best economic driver that we have in the state of Wisconsin, and that's our University of Wisconsin system. We have to make sure that our young people have the opportunity to refinance loans in a way that works, not pretend ways that like we have now. I support the legislation and the budget in the legislature right now to do that.
Well, I'm pleased that the University of Wisconsin has the largest budget they've ever had in state history. But I know over the years it's been difficult to afford the high cost of higher education. In the decade before our freeze, tuition went up 118%. So I'm proud that we froze tuition 6 years in a row, and I want to continue to freeze tuition for the next 4 years. I also increased needs-based financial assistance for all of our colleges and universities, public and private in the state, so that more kids and their families could afford to send them to school. Now, going forward, we're a nation based on immigrants, but we're also a nation based on laws. So we've got to make sure folks in Washington change the laws so we can adjust things going forward. But when it comes to student loan debt, we've worked with the UW Credit Union to provide a competitive place, because the state shouldn't be a bank. UW Credit Union allows access to any student from this state to refinance their student loan at rates that are as competitive or better than other states who've done it on their own.
Okay, I want to lead off on this. The first thing the governor said, the state shouldn't be a bank. That's a reference to Democratic Senator Dave Hansen's bill, which would create, let me look up my notes, a student loan financing authority. Tony Evers sounded like he opened the door to considering that. Your takeaways from that first exchange?
Tony Evers' answers on the question about the in-state tuition for so-called Dreamers is emblematic of the issue he's had in this campaign, where he hasn't mastered nuance in answering questions, and then has opened the door to the attacks that we've seen kind of dominating the airwaves in the last couple of days from Governor Walker. This week we got a new ad from Walker saying that Tony Evers wants special benefits for quote-unquote illegals. It's all based off of his comments from the debate on both DACA students, you know, people who were brought here illegally when they were young, sometimes infants, you know, when they're children, whether they should have pay in-state tuition at UW system colleges, and the driver's licenses for those who are here legally. In both cases, he backed things that polls show aren't very popular with the public, and he doesn't have that nuance about answering that question. I'll give you an example. In talking to people this week about this, it was pointed out to me, like with the in-state tuition for people who are here, the DOC, the Dreamers, there's a way to answer that question where you say, people who are brought here legally as children should not be punished for decisions made by their parents. If they graduate from Wisconsin high schools, we should find a way for them to find a path toward higher education. You didn't answer the question in some ways, right?
Yeah.
That's what a politician does. On driver's licenses, we're going to see a clip shortly about Tony Evers talking about we should allow those who are here legally to have driver's license or some kind of driver's permit.
Yeah, we're going to hear that clip.
When you answer that question, look, there we can have a long discussion, Steve, about the dairy industry, the agriculture industry, and how they rely on immigrant population, oftentimes here illegally, to run their farms, that they back driver's licenses for those here legally because they want people who are here to be licensed to be on the roads, that when there are accidents that they can, you know, have some way to find people, those kinds of things. So you can answer that question away when you say, we have a dairy industry and agriculture industry in Wisconsin, it's vital to our economy. We have to find a way to make sure those who are here, we have an immigrant population that often helps run that industry. We need to make sure that those who are here are driving safely.
Which is one of the last subjects that was covered in last week's debate. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. If you noticed, I'm pretending to be a politician, and I did not answer the question directly.
Right.
But by the way I answered it, I didn't open the door to the attack that we've now seen from Walker's campaign.
Twice in this debate, the governor said on issues like this, including whether young adults should get in-state tuition, that would violate federal law. Tony Evers' answer was other states are doing it. Mm-hmm. But okay, now let's go to the next subject, and that is, should we legalize recreational marijuana, please?
Physicians must have the ability to use cannabis in treatments, and so that is a given. The second thing is we have to decriminalize the use of marijuana. We have people that are suffering mightily because they broke that law. Third of all, we're having referendums all over the state, and we continue to do it. I'm willing to take a look at that and at the results of those referenda and possibly support
Governor Walker.
The legalization.
Well, for years I've listened to public health officials and law enforcement officials, even here in Dane County, who've pleaded with us not to legalize marijuana because they're concerned it's a gateway drug to other drugs. And we've seen the addictions with opioids, with heroin, with meth in certain parts of the state. So, yeah, per your point about the juice, we've actually used that. We've modified that multiple times to help for kids with seizures. We've legalized industrial hemp, which helps many of our farmers. But outright legalization, I think from the folks in law enforcement, public health, they've said that would be a big problem.
So the governor says no to legalizing recreational marijuana because he's been told by law officers it's a gateway drug. But Mr. Evers, he said he supports decriminalizing the use of marijuana. How's that different from legalization, J.I.?
I'm not sure. Again, that nuanced thing. And by the way, the last Marquette poll, I think, that asked about this issue found a majority, if not 60% of people, favored legalizing marijuana intact. And there's also the reference on the ballot this fall.
Yeah, about 20 counties?
Legalizing it, taxing it, and treating it much like we do alcohol with those 21 and older. So that'll be an interesting question posed to voters on Election Day.
Yeah, it will. Okay, let's go to another one. Now, as you alluded to earlier, the specific issue here, should Wisconsin issue driver's licenses to the undocumented? Please.
We're a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. And that clearly puts us in violation of the federal law. That's the reason why we need federal officials to stand up and make positive affirmative changes that allow for legal immigration into the state from anywhere around the world. And the reason we need to do that is precisely what I mentioned in the last question, and the answer to the last question, which is we have more people in the workforce in this state than ever before in our history. We need to bring more people into the state to work. It's why we're out actively recruiting people, whether it's Midwest millennials, whether it's alumni coming back from our public and private institutions, or whether it's of late, we're out recruiting veterans at 16 different military bases around the world. And one of the things I'm particularly proud of is we're the number one state in America for veterans benefits. All those things are about bringing people into the state of Wisconsin. But we need to make sure that we're in compliance with federal law, and that means to address issues like this, we need the federal government to make those changes.
My father-in-law came from Holland, farmed in Sheboygan County for years, and then worked at Kohler Company. And then the next wave of immigrants came, and then the next wave of immigrants. I can tell you that that is going to happen as long as I'm alive in the state of Wisconsin, or any one of us. We have to accept that fact. So do I think that we should have driver permits for undocumented folks that are working in the state of Wisconsin? The answer is yes. Undocumented folks are working hard at jobs all across the state of Wisconsin, paying taxes, paying into Social Security. They should have the opportunity, to have permits, but the state of Wisconsin also has the opportunity to hire good workers. In addition, when you get that permit, you have to learn how to drive safely in Wisconsin. To me, it wins for the economy, and it wins for the workers, and it wins for the people of Wisconsin.
So the governor says we're a nation of laws. Mm-hmm. Mr. Evers says yes, issue them driver's licenses because they're paying taxes, Social Security taxes, and they are contributing. And yes, they need driver's licenses to, as you alluded to earlier, learn how to drive safely, not cause accidents. No big surprise in their answers there?
Again, that nuance. Think about the attacks on Evers in this campaign. The big one to start was about the teacher Middleton with the porn that he yucked at work. Right? That fizzled out quickly. Like 2 or 3 weeks of hitting that hard, then it went away.
Mm-hmm.
Prison population was a door that he opened, that Evers opened at a debate,
mm-hmm.
Democratic primary. And then the question about taxes. And again, the nuance thing, when Evers was asked the day after the primary, you know, would you consider, and this was Governor Walker throwing it out there with, you know, no real foundation, he could look at a dollar increase in gas tax. And they asked the question to Evers, and he said, Everything's on the table. That opened the door, even though he said 100 times, if not more, since then. It's ridiculous. It's not going to happen.
Lips, no $1 increase.
But when you have that lack of nuance, you know, you could answer that question saying, I'm going to look for every way I can to fix Wisconsin roads, and if I can do it without raising taxes, I will do that. That'll be our first priority. Yeah. We have to really figure out how we're going to fund transportation in Wisconsin. Again, did I answer the question? No. But you've opened the door to these attacks. And now, you know, I mean, Walker folks will tell you, look, you know, these are Evers' real true positions. They're liberal, and in some ways they're out of step with certain people in Wisconsin. This attack about driver licenses, this has been around for a while. The in-state tuition, it's been something that was in like 01, 03 budget, something like somewhere around there. We talked about it then. The driver's license thing was used in legislative races a decade ago. You know, and what's interesting is the language in this new Walker ad about, you know, special benefits to illegals, quote unquote. I've asked people, that's a change in tone from the Walker that we're used to. You know, why? Why is he doing that? And the feedback I've gotten, there are three theories, it seems, that I've gotten. One is that, you know, they're just trying to find a new message. Like, they're at ad number 32 as of this week since CSR's re-election bid. They're trying to find something to break through the clutter in these final couple of weeks because there's just so much on the air. Between the governor's race, between the Senate race, now we're seeing legislative campaign ads up.
And Attorney General.
Yep. AG. So you have to break through somehow. And this is a issue that could move people. Oh, no, by the way, there's a peg with this caravan moving toward the United States border, which might get here in who knows how many weeks.
Yep.
That's it kind of brings it to the forefront.
Which is still 2,000 miles away, by the way.
I saw an ad this week from the Republican State Leadership Committee in the Northern Wisconsin 25th Senate District about
Bewley.
About immigration. Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure there are many Mexican immigrants coming over the border from Michigan into that district, but it shows you that they think this is a potent issue, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Now, the other theories I've heard are that Walker is downer tied, that you're looking for something at this point to move people.
We get a new poll next Wednesday. Go ahead.
The other theory is he's started to creep ahead, but Walker can't just be a little bit ahead of Election Day. He is an 8-year incumbent who has got universal name ID in Wisconsin. He must be up several points. Now, what the break is, I don't know, but the theory is the independents, the undecideds, will not break for Scott Walker Election Day. They'll break again. The old rule of thumb has been 2-1.
2-1.
Against the incumbent.
Yep.
So what's it look like? I mean, if we're talking they're 49-48, that's one thing. But if they're 46-45, 47-44, that's a lot of people undecided. So Walker's got to find that gap between now and November 6th to be up on Evers. Because if he's not, he could be in real trouble.
Well, okay, but you want to talk about an issue that's been around forever. Making first offense drunk and driving a crime has been around forever. So let's listen to the candidate's short clips from last Friday's debate on that issue.
Do I think drunk driving is a serious offense? Absolutely. Yes, it should be a very stern issue first time around. There's no question about that. I would support that. But we also have to make sure, you know, just throwing people into the criminal justice system is not going to solve their problem. If it's a serious offense or viewed as a serious offense, we have to provide alcohol and other drug abuse. We have proposals. We have to provide mental health services. We just can't incarcerate people and think they're going to get better. That's where my concern is.
No, you're right. We've got to provide help and assistance. But at some point, when people are out multiple times on the road with drunk driving offense, that is putting a risk to all of us in society out there. We need to go after not so much the first offenders, although we need to make it a taboo for anyone to be driving under the influence, be it from alcohol or drugs or anything else. But where the biggest threat has been and why we cracked down on that and need to do even more is on people who are out over and over and over again.
So they need to be off the street. Change the law on the first offense?
No, I don't think Tony said that either. I don't think either of us said that.
Mr. Evers, just to be clear.
I would look at making it criminal, but I also, it would have to be tied with ways to not just incarcerate people, but to help them return to society.
We've got to handle this one quickly because time's getting away. So the key was, Governor, would you support first offense? He said no, and I don't think Tony said so either. And Tony said he would look at making first offense a crime. Any quick takeaways on that
look
one?
Look at how Walker turned that question about first-time offense to something that's like more universal, which is multiple offenders.
Yeah,
that's the experience that he's got in these debates versus Evers. You know, Walker's been on the a stage with I don't know how many presidential contenders in 2015.
Oh, 12.
It's just a difference in style and experience that comes to these kind of formats.
Okay, now let's move to on every corner you can see a candidate or a surrogate now. So let's just look at just 9 days. Bernie Sanders in Milwaukee for Senator Baldwin. The president, of course, in Mozenie Airport for Leah Vukmir and Scott Walker. President Obama scheduled to be in Milwaukee here a few hours away. And former Vice President Joe Biden in Madison. Takeaways from all these visits?
There is a reason why they're going the places they are. Bernie Sanders, Milwaukee. The simple story about 2016, the oversimplified story, was about how turnout in Milwaukee County was down and that the dip in voting in 2016 versus 12 was almost not quite twice the margin of victory for Donald Trump. That story doesn't tell the full picture, which is that Hillary Clinton cratered, and I mean cratered, in rural Wisconsin and the Fox Valley. But it's a lazy story about 2016. And so people look at Milwaukee and say, we've got to get turnout up there if you're a Democrat. So that's probably why they're going there. President Trump, where is his base? His base is in northern and western Wisconsin. They put him in a place where he's going to appeal to his base. And oh, by the way, he has hurt the GOP brand, maybe permanently, with suburban voters, particularly women. If you're not in, you don't want to take him to Waukesha or Conemaugh. And as we saw, you know, Milwaukee media covered the president's stop, but it wasn't the wall-to-wall coverage you would have seen if it was right in your backyard. So it was a safe place for him to go.
Right.
Barack Obama's going to Milwaukee today. North Division High School. Look, Barack Obama, as the nation's first African-American president, can speak with an authority and authenticity in the African-American community that few others can in Wisconsin, right?
And Joe Biden's coming here Tuesday to get out the UW vote, correct?
Appeal to young people, yes.
Okay. All right. New subject. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and you totaled up spending by third-party groups on state, not federal, not U.S. Senate, but just state races. $25 million on elections, $18 million spent by outside groups on the governor's race, and there's almost a 3-to-1 disparity. Republican backing groups have spent 3 times as much money as groups backing Democrats. There's also the 4 organizations that reported spending more than $1 million. The RGA, Republican Govs, now that's up to 9.6, given the total you guys reported this morning. And Americans for Prosperity, 5.8. Wisconsin Freedom PAC, which is active in the Attorney General's race. Greater Wisconsin Political Fund, which backs Democrats. And also, the issue ad people don't have to report their totals.
No, so this total is incomplete. I mean, they're right. WM's, Wisconsin Manufacturers of Commerce, is doing big TV buys in the governor's race. We're not seeing their stuff. The Democratic Governors Association is working through a group called A Stronger Wisconsin.
Yep.
They're not on that list.
Right.
Greater Wisconsin has got a foot in both worlds where it does issue ads and it does independent expenditures. The difference is, we call them the magic words, vote for, vote against, support, oppose, those kinds of things. If you see those magic words in those ads, that has to be part of the state. If you say, Steve Walters is a bad person, call Steve Walters and tell him he's a bad person, that's an issue ad, quote unquote. Those aren't reported.
Right.
And so it's not a complete picture, but what's interesting is those totals of IEs are up compared to 14 and 10, and significantly. And we're not done yet. This is still 2 weeks out. Well, this picture from the Roxy campaign is still 2 weeks out from the election. It's still coming in. I check these reports every day and see more money coming in all the time.
And it's also important to say that this is just spending by third-party groups and not by the campaigns directly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's a huge number. Another subject before we go to the stock picks. Senator Alberta Darling, co-chairman of the Finance Committee, said this week that all Republican senators are willing to vote on that Assembly-passed bill prohibiting discrimination for pre-existing conditions. Her quote was, "We all want to be there for the people who need it, and if we need to vote again because the federal government is not clear, it will pass." The context here is a extraordinary session after the election. So does this guarantee that the Senate's going to vote on that Assembly-passed bill on pre-existing conditions?
No.
Why?
So as long as Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is in place, those protections are in place, unless that law goes away, I don't see any reason, from talking to people, that they come in and do the bill, because it's not needed. Now, if somehow the law is overturned by the courts between now and November 6th, different story, maybe. But I just get feeling talking to people that Republicans, there are some Republicans who have an issue with the bill in general. Now, if you were going to pass it with bipartisan support, it would pass tomorrow, probably, if it was needed, if it was needed. But it passed on partisan lines in the assembly because Democrats criticized it wasn't didn't go far enough. Mm-hmm. And I just have a question of, if they get past the election, and there's no need to do it, why would they do it? Because I don't think that they're all on board, the members of the Republican caucus, on that bill.
And the Democratic spokesman said, don't trust Senate Republicans who say they're all for it. Health care and protections for Wisconsinites with pre-existing conditions are on the ballot in November's election. What a fascinating year. Okay, your stock report.
So, Sergey, we talked about where they went and why. Let's talk about the other level.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the goodness of their hearts they're coming to Wisconsin. People like Joe Biden, Senator Harris from California, Senator Booker from New Jersey. Let's see, who else have I got? Senator Sanders from Vermont. Mike Pence. They're going to run for president someday. This is not going to be a shock to you, but some are going to run.
They all plan to run.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
When you come to Milwaukee and Madison, guess who happen to live in Milwaukee and Madison? Donors. So you get a chance to press the flesh with a couple people who, you know, help fund these things, while you also build goodwill with the state while you're doing it. So there's a nuance here. It's not just about now, it's about the future as well. And oh, by the way, more are going to come. I'm not sure how many high profile, but it tells you also what a competitive governor's race we have ever seen these folks in the final weeks.
They're going to be on every street and corner. Okay, mixed.
So Leah Vukmir, so look, you know, having the president here was good for Leah. Sorry. She got to be on stage with the president. She got to get a goose in support, you know, name ID with his vote, his supporters, all good things. But when I talk to people on both sides of the aisle, I don't get many people who see a very wide path for her to win. In fact, I've had two Republicans swear to me this place is closer than we think it is, but those are the only two I've talked to, and I talked to a lot of people, mm-hmm. tell me that there's, you know, there's something going on here. The polls, and you know, this Ipsos, Reuters, University of Virginia poll was like 12 or 14 points. People don't buy that. Come election day, it's going to be single digits probably. The question is what the margin's going to be. The one caveat seems to be, one, how does Governor Walker do? If he suddenly gets momentum and gets up to like the low 50s somewhere, that could pull along Leah Vukmir. This caravan issue, is this going to snap the Republican base to attention and really bring it off for Leah Vukmir? I don't know. The big difference, though, is like 2 years ago, we also had kind of a quiet Senate race compared to other states. The difference there was, one, we had a group like Reform. Reform Wisconsin was up on the air for Ron Johnson. The Club for Growth was up on the air for Johnson. And Johnson had significant resources on his own paid media campaign. Mm-hmm. Looking at finance reports, Senator Bulb has now raised $31 million in change.
That's over the 6 years.
Since the end of 2012.
Yes.
All right, through mid-October. Leah Vukmir, she got in the race in September of last year, raised $5 million.
She had a primary? A lot of that went for the primary.
She has not had the resources to match what Bulb was. Now, Bulb does not get any outside help right now. I mean, on the air. Like, we're seeing canvassing, I'm seeing digital ads, I'm seeing, like, those kinds of mail. But like big TV buys, we're not seeing it. It's just a sign to people I talk to that they're not seeing Wisconsin as a competitive race.
They're trying to save the senator in Missouri and the senator in Montana and the senator in Indiana.
Excuse me. You know, I'm trying not to rule out anything, but the only path that I'm seeing from talking to people is if Walker does really well and there's a Republican surge, maybe Leah can ride that. But most people I talk to just don't see that path.
Okay, and falling?
So you'll be Oshkosh faculty. In a cost-saving move, they're going to take on a bigger teaching load. This is going to require fewer adjunct professors, by the way, which are people like you who come from the professional world and teach on campus.
One class per semester, yeah.
Even though they've got their enrollment rising, this is a cost-saving move. And oh, by the way, their legal problems continue with the foundation, that whole mess going on. So, you know, it's a little bit of a note that means they're not alone. Stevens Point also has got some issues up there with, like, its budget they're trying to deal with.
Yeah. Okay. And let's just quickly look at next week with the new poll coming out. Obviously, U.S. Senate, whether Senator Vukmir gains momentum, is the governor's race still a deadlock? Here's my question, though. This will be the last poll before the election. Will Mr. Franklin be a little bit gun-shy, having not predicted the 2016 presidential?
Well, remember, in 2016...
We only got a few seconds. Go
last
ahead.
Poll... It had the Senate race dead even, which turned out to be true. And the governor, a presidential race, it had Clinton's number on the nose. It underestimated Trump. And oh, by the way, the Comey letter came after that poll went in the field. I mean, there are lots of stuff that moved people in the very end.
That's true. But we'll be talking about that poll 1 week from today. I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for October 26.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.